Acts 13, verse 22. We're continuing our series this morning on great men of faith in the Bible. And we want to talk about David. You've all heard about David. And don't be too frightened. Hopefully the message won't be as long as his life. But Acts chapter 13, and we'll read verse 22. Well, verse 21 as well, just to get the context. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall follow all my will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the Word of God, and the privilege to look into it, Lord, and receive instruction for our lives. We know these great men of faith that we've been talking about have a lot for us to learn from them. And I pray that today we might learn from David, a man who had a heart after God. Lord, we know that you know everyone here today. You know whether we are what we claim to be. You know whether our private life is such that people think that it is. Lord, you know all about us. You know our heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but you look on the heart. And so, Lord, I pray you would examine our heart today and show us the kind of people we need to be. And Lord, if there's one here who has never yet trusted Jesus as their Savior, I pray that today would be the day they come to know him, by putting their faith and trust in what you did for them on the cross of Calvary. Bless this time. Give enablement to bring the message. Get glory for yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of David is a fascinating story of a man chosen and gifted by God to be the king of Israel. He is a prominent person in the scripture, as seen by the fact that his name appears 968 times on the pages of the Word of God. We are first introduced to David in the book of Ruth, where we read that Ruth and Boaz's son, Obed, was the father of David's father, who was Jesse. Therefore, David was Ruth's great-grandson. So you think of Ruth in the Bible, her great-grandson was David. David was so important in God's plan that God required the Messiah to come through the line of David. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. In Jeremiah 23, verse 5, it says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. That was speaking of the Messiah, who was Jesus. He was coming through the line of David. In the New Testament, we read in John chapter 7, verse 42, Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? With such an important role to play in God's plan, it's understandable that God would take so much space in the Bible to talk about David. He would tell us so much about him and reference his name so many times. But there's no way this morning that I can cover all the life of David in a Sunday morning message. And so I'm not going to try to do that, but I'm going to try to hit some high points and to summarize his life. And we're going to do that by looking at four things about David. First of all, David's trust. Secondly, David's triumphs. Thirdly, David's trouble. And then lastly, David's treasure. First of all, David's trust. Even as a young man, David desired to do God's will. He is described by God as a man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it says this, The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. That's when Saul disobeyed the Lord, you remember. And Samuel said to Saul, you've disqualified yourself. God's going to look for another man, and he's going to look for a man after his own heart. In fact, in Psalm 89, verse 19, it says, talking about David, I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. Now, remember, he says, I found David, my servant, before he ever became king. Before he ever became prominent, he was a servant of God, and he was a man after God's own heart. In 1 Samuel 16, you remember when it says that Samuel went to Jesse's house to find the king because God had told him, the one I'm promising you, the king I'm going to raise up is coming out of Jesse's house. Now, Jesse has 8 sons. And so all 7 sons paraded before him. And God told Samuel, he says, don't look upon his outward appearance. Man looks upon the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. And the Bible says that when David came out, he was the youngest one, and he was ruddy. That means he was reddish. He probably had red hair and light complexion, which was quite a contrast to the Jews in that time, because they would have been darker skin and then dark hair. And so he probably had red hair, and so he stood out, but that was considered beautiful in those days. And so the Lord says, the Lord looks at the heart, but man looks on the outward appearance. So God looked at the heart of David, and he said, his heart is a heart after my heart. He's a man after God's own heart. You remember when David was introduced to Saul by another man, a servant of Saul. This servant of Saul said, this is a man who the Lord is with. The Lord is with him, and he will play well the harp and all that, because you remember Saul had lost his kingship as far as God was concerned. And God said, I've found another. And the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and Saul was very troubled, and Saul had to have something to calm him down. And he said, send for a man who knows how to play the harp. And so they sent for David, and this man who recommended David said, he's a man, and this man can really play the harp, and the Lord is with him. So as a young man, he was known as a man who had a heart for God. I also find that David's was a man, because we said that we talked about David's trust. It's very evident in the Scripture that David was a man who trusted the Lord. In preparation for this message, I set out to read all of the Psalms of David. I didn't read them all. There's so many. But I read over 50 Psalms of David in preparation for this message. And I want to point out some things about David trusting the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, and we'll just flip through these passages so you find Psalms, and we'll go through it quickly. Chapter 7, verse 1. The 7th Psalm, verse 1. O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. That's Psalm 7, verse 1. So look at Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? He says, I trust in the Lord. Look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 1. Preserve me, O God. For in thee do I put my trust. Psalm 21, verse 7. For the king trusteth in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Now I'm mentioning some of the places where it says that he trusts in the Lord. Not all of them. There are others as well. Look at Psalm 31, verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Psalm 52, verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. So David was a man who trusted God. David's trust. Now, what did he trust God for? Well, I found several things that he trusted God for. First of all, he trusted God for salvation. If you turn back in Psalms, Psalm 3, verse 8, it says, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. David trusted God for salvation. He mentions salvation several times in his writings. But David trusted God for salvation. I ask you, what do you trust God What do you trust for your salvation? Many people trust their good deeds. They trust their religion. They trust their performance. But David trusted God. David knew that he did not deserve to be a man who would be accepted by God. He knew that he did not deserve someday to go to heaven. David knew that he was a sinner. He was very conscious of that. And he trusted God for salvation. My friend, you can only trust the Lord for salvation if you're going to be saved. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid the price for our sins. And by trusting Him, that's the way we come to be a saved person. We're saved by God by trusting what Jesus did for us. So I don't deserve to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did for me, not what I do for Him. I'm trusting Him for salvation. David also trusted God for safety. Let's look at several passages which speak to that. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Look, as you read the story of David, you know that he needed to trust somebody for safety because his enemies were after him all the time. I mean, there was always somebody seemingly out to get David. And so he had to trust the Lord for his safety. Look at Psalm 17, verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Lord, I trust you to protect me from those who rise up against me. Turn all the way over. I have several others written down, but we'll not look at all of them. But look at Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 2. He says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. He says, I trust you, Lord. Many people are against me, but I trust you for safety. My friend, you'll never be safe if you trust someone else or you trust yourself. You'll only be safe if you trust the Lord. He's greater than any enemy. He also trusted the Lord not only for safety and salvation, he trusted the Lord for strength. Listen as I read Psalm 18, verse 2. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Psalm 18, 32. It is God that girdeth me with strength. Verse 39. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Psalm 19, verse 14. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Then turn with me to Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The choir sang this morning, wait on the Lord. Oh, how we need to wait on the Lord. And he says that he trusted the Lord for strength. And he says, I wait on the Lord. And we need to wait on the Lord as well because we're not strong enough to handle everything. Many times we're overwhelmed, but we go to the Lord and wait on him because we trust him. He also trusted the Lord for supply. Let's read the beautiful passage in Psalm 34. It's one of my favorite psalms. Verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then Psalm 36, verse 7, he says this, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. David said, I trust the Lord for supply. He's the one that gives me what I need. He also trusted the Lord for something else that all of us need. Times get rough. Trials are hard. But David trusted the Lord for a smile. I mean, if you can't find anything about to smile about, you think about Jesus. And you can find something to smile about. Notice how this is expressed in the Psalms. Look at Psalm 5, verse 11. Psalm 5, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. He trusts the Lord, and because he trusts the Lord, he can smile. How can you smile when you're faced with things that you don't understand? How can you smile when you're faced with enemies that are stronger than you? How can you smile when you're faced with circumstances that it seems like it's going to do you in? The way you can smile is you look past those circumstances and you realize there's the Lord. And you can trust him. And trusting in the Lord will help you to smile. And David trusted the Lord for a smile. Look at Psalm 33, verse 21. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Our hearts shall rejoice because we've trusted in him. David trusted the Lord for a smile. David also trusted the Lord for sure direction. Look in Psalm 23. All of you know that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One little child quoted that wrongly one time, but got it right anyway. And she said, the Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I want. Well, that's right. If the Lord's your shepherd, he's going to take care of you. And I shall not want for anything because he's going to give me all that I really need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice this. David trusted the Lord for sure direction. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You want to know which way to go in this life? Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord for direction. He'll tell you which way to go. Look at Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me thy paths, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. He trusted the Lord for direction in his life. My friend, all these psalms I've read from are psalms that David wrote. I found it a wonderful practice, and I don't think I've ever done this before, is just go through and pick out the psalms that David wrote and think of David when I read them. And it was a blessing to see this man as he writes from his heart. God says this is a man after God's own heart, and he writes from his heart, and most of the psalms he's just expressing his praise and his adoration to the Lord and all that God does for him. David's trust was in the Lord. But then let's look at David's triumphs. Oh, yes, David had some victories. You know, if you want triumphs in your life, if you want victories, you're going to have to trust the Lord. It's really the only way you'll get them. And David had triumphs in his life. First of all, he had victory as a youth against a lion and a bear. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to spend a good bit of time in 1 Samuel. So if you'll turn back there to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and let's read the account. You remember what happened? Jesse sends his son David out to check on his brothers because his brothers, some of them out there, was Saul fighting. And he sends him to check on them. And when David gets into the camp, he realizes something's not right because here comes this big giant out of the Philistines and he challenges the children of Israel. And something's just not right. And so David says, well, I can go up against him. And they make fun of him and says, what are you talking about? You can't. You're just a kid. And then David recounts the story. Look at verse 34. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Evidently, this was two different occasions, the way it's written. Notice it says in verse 35, and I went out after him, and I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, that'd be the lion, and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said moreover, and notice his explanation, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. David says, look, I've had triumphs in my life because I trusted the Lord. And the Lord is the one who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the bear. I like his description of how he killed the lion. He said, I caught him by the beard. I don't want anything to do with a lion's beard, believe me. I don't want anything to do with his tail. I don't want anything to do with any of him. But David was faced with this problem, and he had to defend his flock. And so he catches this lion by the beard, and I don't know how he killed him, but he killed that lion. And another time it was a bear, and he killed the bear. And he said, God helped me do that. I have triumphed because God has helped me. So he had the victory as a youth over a lion and a bear. And then he has a victory over Goliath. And this is the story in which he told that account. He said, I can handle the Philistine because God's going to be on my side. We won't read it all, but you remember how it goes. In chapter 17, verse 32, he mentions it's the introduction. Then verse 38 to 51 gives the story. And what it is Saul said, all right, if you think you can do it, here's my armor. And he puts his armor on him. Saul, remember, stood head and shoulders above anybody else. And David can't handle this armor. He said, I haven't tried this. I haven't proved this. I haven't used this before in battle. I don't feel comfortable fighting this way. I feel restricted. I've got to get this off. And so he took the armor off. But he went with what he knew. Remember, he'd faced the lion and the bear before. And so he faces this giant the same way. The Bible says he took a staff. And he went down to the brook and he gathered up 5 stones and he put them in a little pack that he had on his belt. And he has a sling in his hand and he goes to face the giant. The giant looks at him, and if you read the account, the giant noticed the color of his hair. Giant noticed that this is a little red-haired guy, you know. What are you doing? Is you sending a dog after me? And he makes fun of him. He says, I'm going to tear you apart. I'm going to feed you to the birds and all that. And then David says, wait a minute. You have blasphemed my God. You come to me with spear and shield. And you remember the Bible says, the account says that Goliath had this big spear. And the head of the spear weighed 15 pounds. Hey, I have to be a pretty big man to throw a spear with the head of a spear weighing 15 pounds. His armor was heavy too. He has all this armor on, and he has this spear, and in front of him is a guy holding a shield. The guy's a coward. He stands 9 foot 9 inches tall, and he's challenging anybody of Israel to come out and fight him, and yet he's not willing to fight him man on man. He's got a guy in front of him with a shield. Well, David is a smaller guy, of course. And David faces him with a sling and some stones and a staff in his hand. And the Bible says that David takes that sling and he starts whirling the stone in the sling around his head and he lets it go. And evidently it went over the armor bearer in front of Goliath, because Goliath stands so tall. It must have went over that and hit him right here, and he fell down. And the Bible says David ran up there. David didn't have a sword. So he pulls the sword out of Goliath's sheath, and he takes the sword and cuts Goliath's head off, and then takes it to the Philistines and shows it, you know, to the Philistines. I have conquered your enemy. And the children of Israel got all excited, and they were emboldened now, and they went after the enemy and they defeated them that day. David trusted the Lord, and he triumphed because of that. David also had victory in another way. He had victory over his pride and his self-advancement. Samuel had told David, you're going to be the king of Israel. God has disqualified, or Saul has disqualified himself, and God has rejected him. And so you're going to be king. Well, Saul didn't know that, but he knew that David had showed himself to be a very wise young man, and Saul put David over his army. And David went out to battle, and he had such success that the women came back. As they came back, the women sang, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David has slain his tens of thousands. And Saul became jealous. And you remember that as Saul is upset about that, the Bible says that Saul sought to kill David. And David knew that he was to be king. And God gave him opportunities, or put it in his lap, you might say, where he could have killed Saul and become the king because Israel already liked him. But he didn't do it. There were two accounts. One was in a cave at Engedi. And Saul was there, and he didn't know that David and his men were there. Saul went into the cave to relieve himself, to go to the bathroom, cover his feet, it says. That's a euphemism for that. So he goes into the cave, and in the dark sides of the cave, David and his men are there, and Saul doesn't know it. Saul takes his robe off and lays it down and goes over to relieve himself. And while he's doing that, then David's over here in the darkness, and they're whispering what they're going to do. And David takes and cuts a piece off of Saul's robe. Saul puts his robe on and goes out, and out in the daylight. And after he gets out there, David walks out at the edge of the cave and hollers to him. And he says, "Saul!" Or he calls out to him. And Saul turns around and it's David. And David shows him the piece of his robe that he cut off. And he said, "I could have killed you today, but I will not lay my hand on God's anointed." You see, David was waiting on God. He had a triumph over pride and self-advancement. He could have gotten the kingdom right away, but he was willing to wait on God. There was another time, a little bit later, in the wilderness of Ziph, that Saul and his army was camped there, and Saul was in the middle, and the Bible says all of his armies camped around about him, and I think at that time he had 3,000 men around him. And they fell asleep that night. It was at the camp, it was night, and the Bible says later in that account that God made a deep sleep fall on them. God was watching out for David. And David said, "Let's go down and into the valley." And he wasn't going to go down there and kill Saul. But he went down there and Saul laying there on the ground, fast asleep because God had put him into a deep sleep. Saul had his spear sticking in the ground, had a cruse of water next to him. David and his men, one of his men, took the spear out of the ground, took the cruse of water, walked up on the hillside, and then hollered to David or to Saul and to Joab and just really let Joab have it because he wasn't protecting his king. And again he said, "Saul, I could have killed you, but I'm not going to do that. I'm waiting on God." And David had a great triumph there because he learned to wait on God. Friend, we need to do that. So many times we're tempted to take things in our own hands and change it. Well, it's not God's time, and we need to wait on the Lord. Then David had another triumph, and that is he had triumph over his many enemies. In Second Samuel chapter 18, if you'll look there quickly. Chapter 8. 2 Samuel chapter 8. We'll not read all the verses, but there's 18 verses in that passage. But I want to just point out the different people he had victory over. Look at chapter 8 of 2 Samuel, verse 1. "After this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines," verse 2. "And he smote Moab," verse 3. "David smote also Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah." So he smote Zobah. Also, verse 5. "And he slew the Syrians." And then verse 14, "And he put the garrison in Edom," there throughout all Edom put he garrisons, "and all they of Edom became David's servants." And so he conquered all these enemies, the Philistines, the Moabites, the Zobites, and the Syrians, and Edom, and he did all this, and then notice the last part of verse 14, "And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went." God was taking care of David. Victory over his enemies. And then in 2 Samuel chapter 22, it sort of summed up what God did for his enemies, how God gave him a triumph over all of his enemies. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1, "David spake unto the Lord the words of the song in the day that the Lord had delivered him." So David sings this song to the Lord. "He delivers him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. David was a man of triumph. He triumphed over all of his enemies. But then we must say also, David was a man with troubles. David's troubles. What were David's troubles? Well, first of all, he was troubled. He had trouble with his foes. I'm going to mention three foes, and some of them we've already covered. One foe was Saul. At the very beginning of his conflict with Saul, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, we won't turn back there, but just listen. In chapter 18 and chapter 19, it shows two accounts where Saul got so mad at David. He was so jealous of David. David was in his presence. David was strumming on a harp. And Saul took his javelin and threw it at David to kill him. And David escaped, got out of the way, and the javelin hit in the wall. And Saul was trying to kill David. Chapter 19, he tried to do it again. And so he had trouble with Saul. And Saul was after him to get him because of his jealousy. He also had trouble with another foe, and that is he had trouble with strangers. Now, the reason I use the word strangers is because he fought the Philistines and all those other people in the land. And the reason he fought those people was because they weren't supposed to be there. You see, back when the children of Israel went into the land to conquer it under Joshua, and then the time after that, they were to kill all those inhabitants because they had been so wicked before God. And God said they must be judged, and they cannot be left, because if you leave them, they will introduce their sin into your life. They will introduce you to worshiping their false gods. You cannot leave them. You must destroy them. And over we read, and they did not destroy these, and they did not destroy these, and they did not destroy these. And what happened? David had a foe when he set out to establish his kingdom, and it was the strangers. Those still in the land that were not supposed to be there. Unbelievers, idolaters, and people who lived an ungodly life because they didn't believe in the Lord. And they had to be dealt with, and David had to deal with the strangers. My friend, if we leave things in our life that shouldn't be there, you'll have problems with it. And you'll have to deal with it. And it will be your foe. You might say, well, I'm going to live for Jesus, but there's this habit I have that I'm not going to deal with. I'm not going to take care of. It'll give you problems. Or maybe it's something nobody knows about. Maybe it's something secret in your mind. You better deal with it or it gives you problems. Maybe it's when nobody else is in the house and you turn on that computer and you bring up those sites that you shouldn't bring up and you start getting addicted to pornography. My friend, that is absolutely wrong before God. It's sinful. It's immoral, and it's wrong. And God says if you allow that in your life, it's going to cause you trouble. That's one of your foes. David dealt with strangers. And then I think also David's had a problem with foes, and that is, he had a problem with the greatest foe, and that is the devil. I don't have a passage to tell you that, but I just believe that the devil knew what God was doing. He had a sense that this man David's different. He saw him out there taking care of his sheep. The devil saw him, how different he was from the others. He saw how he feared God. He saw how he defeated the lion and the bear, and the devil knew he couldn't do that by himself. The devil knew there was something special about David, and the devil was out to get him. And so I think the devil was behind the lion and the bear, and the devil was behind Saul, and the devil was behind the Philistines and all those others. The devil was behind all those. David had troubles with his foes. But then also David had trouble with his family. You see, David had a few family problems as well. You know, you find any good family and you search long enough and you'll find something wrong with that family. No families are perfect. You know, if you are braves, look at your family tree. Search out your genealogy. You might be encouraged for a while and then you find something hanging on the tree you don't like. And I've told you this before. I went to an auction many years ago. It was somewhere in this area a long time ago. And I bid on something and I got the bid, and the auctioneer says, what's your name? And I said, McGuffey. And he said, I knew a McGuffey one time. He was a chicken thief. Well, I'm sorry. So watch out for your family tree. Well, David had some family that wasn't very good. One of those was a son. His name was Amnon. Amnon, you see, David messed up in his life. He had more than one wife. And as I said, you know, that's too many for anybody. But David had more than one wife, and he had problems because of that. But he had this son who fell in love with his sister, his half-sister, Tamar. And this son's name was Amnon. And Amnon wanted her so bad. And so he tricked her and got her to come, pretended he was sick, and then he raped her. And so it's a great story for people to read because it says after he raped her, he hated her more than he loved her before. Young people, beware. Immorality is deceptive. And that guy who tells this young lady, oh, I love you, and if you love me, you will, slap him in the face and say, I won't, and I won't see you again. That's not love. And that's what Amnon said. He wanted her so bad, the Bible said he was sick with his desire for his sister. And oh, she was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. He had to have her. So he rapes her. And then he hates her. Well, that caused problem in the family. Because Absalom was this half-sister's full brother. And Absalom said, I'm going to kill Amnon someday. And he did. And he killed his brother Amnon. So David had trouble with his family. But then he had trouble with his son Absalom as well. Because Absalom didn't really love his dad, but he loved power. And Absalom had a winsome personality, and he could get people to do anything. And he was a handsome guy, and he got people to follow him. He led an insurrection against his dad, and his dad had to flee Jerusalem. And he took over the town, and he was setting himself up as king. His dad left 10 concubines behind to watch over the house until he could get back. And he took those concubines, and he put up a tent inside of everybody, and then committed immorality with those 10 concubines as his way of taking over the throne and just disgracing his dad. That was Absalom, his son. And you remember what happened to Absalom? The Bible says they were in a battle and Absalom had this long hair and he got his hair caught in the tree. And he was hanging there. And Joab came along and killed Absalom. And you remember the cry of David? He said, Absalom, my son, would to God I had died instead of you, Absalom, my son. The great man David had trouble with his family. But then David had another trouble. He had trouble with his foes, had trouble with his family, and he had trouble with his flesh. Oh, you know the story. The story of Bathsheba. Even though David had several wives, and by the way, this is a lesson to men. And as you think, well, you know, my wife is not as beautiful as she used to be. Boy, this woman at work, she sure is pretty. And she sure talks nice. And if I only have her, that's a lie. David had several wives. Remember Solomon who followed him had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He was never satisfied. Sin doesn't satisfy. Doesn't meet your needs. So David, even though he had several wives, stayed home from battle one day and he walked out from his house and he looked out from the roof and he saw this woman bathing herself. Her name was Bathsheba. She thought she was private and she was bathing herself and probably didn't have many clothes on. And he lusted after her and he inquired and said, who is she? Said, that's Uriah's wife. That didn't stop him. He's the king. So his flesh said, I've got to have her. I've got to have her. And so he sends and has Uriah killed. Longer story than that, but that's the end result. He has Uriah killed in battle, and then he goes and takes her to be his wife. And then the child that she conceived by David died. It's a sad story. David had trouble with his flesh. You see, it's like this. David was a man after God's own heart. He was a man who trusted the Lord. He was a man who triumphed in the Lord. But he was a man who had trouble. And believe me, if you do something for the Lord, you're going to have troubles. There are going to be troubles, and things are going to try to get you down. We don't have to fall to those things, but it's a fact of life that troubles will come. But at least David when he was confronted with his sin, confessed his sin, and he had great remorse of his sin because he had caused a lot of damage in his family and in the Lord's name and all of that. And he wrote in Psalm 71 how bad he felt. But in that psalm, he tells us something about his treasure. And I want to close with that, David's treasure. His trust, his triumphs, his troubles, and then his treasure. What did David treasure? First of all, I'd say David treasured the joy of his salvation. There is nothing greater than knowing the Lord and walking with Him. There is nothing greater than having fellowship with the Lord. And all the things that the devil would promise you will not give you satisfaction. It'll only come from the Lord. And David cried out in that psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." David's treasure was his salvation and his relationship to God. David's treasure was also something else, if you'll turn to Psalm 19. And that is, his treasure was the Word of God. Now, remind you, David didn't have near the Word of God we do. David didn't have all of that. He had the Old Testament law, and he didn't have very much of the Bible, but what he had was very special to him. And so he treasured that. And we read it in Psalm 19, verse 7, what he thought about the Word of God. Verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is true, is sure, making wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the Lord, the fear the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." David said, "I value, I treasure the Word of God." If you lose everything and you still have Jesus Christ as your Savior and you still have your Bible, you're rich. But then there's something else David treasured. And this is what you find throughout his Psalms. I read over 50 of them in preparation. But you find this throughout his Psalms. And that is, he treasured the Lord. He treasured the Lord. Not just the salvation that God gave him. Not just the Word that God gave him. But he treasured the Lord. And over he speaks about how he worships the Lord. And he praises the Lord. He adores the Lord. Look at Psalm 27, verse 4. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." One thing I desire, this is something I treasure, and that is I treasure the Lord and all that He means to me. And then notice Psalm 63, and with this we'll close. Psalm 63, verse 1. "O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary, because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips when I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." David said, "My treasure is my God. My God." You think about it. David had prestige. Most prestigious man on the earth at that time, probably. David had power. He could have anything he wanted. He was powerful enough to get it. He had possessions he didn't want for gold or raiment or anything. He had pleasures. He had all those things. But what did David treasure? He treasured his salvation. He treasured the Word of God. And he treasured his God. You might be looking for enjoyment and satisfaction in the things of this life. in possessions and things and power and prestige. But believe me, friend, you won't find it there. You'll only find true satisfaction in the Lord. And may God help us to get our priorities right so we'll be a man like David or a woman like David. David wasn't a woman, but you know what I mean. And that is, we'll have the heart of David. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for helping us to remember David and his life. Lord, I thank you that even though he was imperfect, that you still used him. When he failed, Lord, you forgave him. And I thank you, Lord, that you do the same for us. Help us to get our priorities right so that the thing we treasure most is not our health, it's not our wealth, it's not our friends. The thing we treasure most is you. And Lord, we know that if we get that straight, our health will mean more to us, our friends will mean more to us, our possessions will mean more to us, because we have the right perspective. We love you. Convict us all, Lord, because we need that. And draw us close to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.